on this computer. Okay, so this is the first meeting for CEO Circle Community for April 2021, April the 14th. And today is our Acknowledgement Accountability Ask meeting. And right now we have Sandy and Christy, and maybe other people will float in here in a minute. So we'll get going. So what are you so proud of? And also, I want to know, did you spring for that publisher? I forget the name of it now.
Oh, yes. I'm going to, because, so I looked at it because they include Messenger and WhatsApp and Telegram. I would thought that was interesting. I thought for $39, if I never use it, I'm okay with getting rid of that.
Yeah, so. I know.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I go in cycles with that. Right. And I know that be a topic for conversation about if our engagement sucks so much, whatever. But yeah, so I'm going to get it and just play around with it.
Well, so Chandra, what we're talking about, what's the name of it, Christy? I forget. I bought it and I forget it.
See, of course I forgot now too. Plan something.
It was an AppSumo deal. And it's one of those things that, is one of those new schedulers, pay for it now, never pay for it again, yada, yada, yada. And I have plenty of schedulers and I'm kind of working my way through them right now.
Post-O-Plan.
Yeah. And the reason I was interested in it is because I got to reading about it after Christy posted it in our CEO Circle group. And it allows you to connect with Messenger and WhatsApp and Telegram.
Oh, nice.
And so I thought, well, that's kind of a nice different take. And I know that that's kind of where things are going. So right. I'm like you, Christy. I figured for $39, I could have Christina play with it for me and then see, you know, see whether we wanted to use it. It kind of begs the larger question about schedulers anyway, because you guys have heard me say that Hootsuite went up about 5 or 10 times the money, and I decided to drop after having been a customer since 2013. Mm-hmm. Well, today, Mari Smith posted about that in her Facebook forum, that she has been a customer since the very beginning of Hootsuite, and they wanted to go up on her 10 times the amount, and so she left it. And then there was a thread of about 200 other people in there who all said, only one guy said he was keeping it, that it was worth it to him. But everybody else said they were dropping it. Now, I hear the same thing about Later, that Later is going to go way high in their pricing. And right now I have a very small, in fact, I think maybe I took my Later account. I used to have Later Pro, and I think I might have taken it back down to free again, but I can see that Later, even though I like it a lot for Instagram, I can see that it's going to go that way too. And I'm just not going to pay $200 or $300 for a month for social scheduling. First of all, I don't think it gains you that much business. And second of all, I think it drives your costs sky high. So I'm not about it. I'm about these little 39 or 49 one-time deals or using Facebook Creator if you're posting on Facebook itself. So I don't know, Sandy, if you have any opinion about that, but that's what's in my head about it right now anyway.
No, I 110% agree. I took my Later account back down to the free version.
Yeah.
And I'll check out Post-O-Plan. I had bought another AppSumo deal, Promo Republic.
Okay.
Same thing for like $40 one time. What I love about Promo is it posts all platforms.
Yeah.
And it has graphics. So you can actually, it has Instagram ready quote graphics. It has graphics for holidays that are coming up. So a lot of, and you can take any of their images and edit them right within the software.
I think you can with this one too, that Christy and I just bought.
Yep.
Nice.
It said the same thing. Yep.
So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't look like you and I were all using the same software, because you can tweak everything.
Right. Right.
But another one that I miss out.
Huh?
I'll check out Post-O-Plan because of the other integrations it has, because Promo does not have that.
Yeah, and the other one that I bought maybe 4 or 5 months ago that was an AppSumo deal was Publer, P-U-B-L-E-R. Mm-hmm. And I like it pretty well. It does give you some hashtag suggestions, and sometimes they're not very apropos. But if you kind of aim them in the right way and say, do something around this hashtag, it will give you some others that sometimes I don't think about. So, here comes somebody from an iPhone. I don't know who it is. So, hello, whoever iPhone 415 is.
I think it may be Claire.
Might be Claire.
Boy, this is unusual. I'm on my phone today because I couldn't get my, I'm at the Bernsteins in Mill Valley instead of at home. Well, this will be a new experience to be on the phone, but I think it can work. It can work, right?
It can work, Claire. So just so we weren't sure who you were, but now we know you're Claire. Oh, there you are. You've got your video on. Now we see you. Okay, good. So we're talking about schedulers right now.
Good.
So anyway, Publer, I like it. Okay. And it was one of the, I think it was a $49 one-time deal. I need to get all of these. I really want to get it to where I'm using native and Facebook. And then I really want just one for the other stuff because my sense of things is that it's not really, I don't want to put 75% of my marketing efforts in social media because I don't think that's smart. I think it should be other things that we're doing to get the kind of clients that we all want. So I'm kind of wanting to winnow it down, but sometimes you have to buy a couple of these cheapies and then try them out and then kick them, you know, if they don't do what you're wanting them to do. So Christy, I'm happy to share with you anything I learned about this new one. And I do like Publer and we are using Publer some. But I'm out of Hootsuite and I think I might be out of later. I might run with the free one for a while, but I'm not going to pay anything more for later, I don't think.
You don't pay Canva or Planoly to do scheduling?
Well, I don't have Planoly. I have Publer. And you can schedule to Facebook and I think maybe now to a couple of other social networks using Canva. And I've done that a time or two, but if I'm posting to Facebook, we tend to do it in the native scheduler within Facebook. You get a little bit, tiny bit more reach, but you're getting such horrible reach with Facebook anyway. Honestly, I don't think it matters. I think if you use an outside scheduler, you might be losing one person. Right. I mean, the reach has gotten so bad You saw what I put up about Instagram, about how much the reach just dropped. It's all going toward paid. So to me, it's like pick a platform and let's figure out how you can put some paid budget behind it. Because that's faster and easier than it is trying to get all this free organic stuff. You're just not going to get the free anymore. It's not going to be there for you.
That's completely agree.
But anyway, Christy, back to you. We veered off onto the topic of schedulers. But what else are you so proud of? You said you feel like you're on a roll. So let's hear it.
I am. I have created my free opt-in quiz and little thing that they get. It's like a 5-page quiz roadmap to success and then call to action on it. And my VA, as we speak, is finishing the pages for my website. So my website should be live by the end of the week with the opt-in.
Can't wait to see it. Be sure to post it.
I will. I will. I'm so excited because I've been dragging my heels on this, but I finally have gotten clarity. I feel like I can push through. Anyway, so that'll all be set to go. And I've just decided that it's okay if I fail, but what I'm going to do is release. So the website will go live and I'm going to do a 5-day challenge like in a week or two. And then from that 5-day challenge, I'm going to offer a masterclass. It's going to be that 6-week called Who Am I Becoming? And I'm going to do it at a lower price point, but say it's going to go up next time and I'm only going to offer it twice a year, and then that in my head is going to funnel into the membership group. So after I've worked through that class, then I'll launch the membership group, and just do it. And if I have five people, I'm going to give the best of my ability to five people. If I have more than that, that's great. But I just realized I just have to, if I don't offer it, how do I know, right? Like what they want. So that's where I'm at.
Great.
And what are you charging for your masterclass?
I'm just going to charge $147. It's a 6 weeks class. And then I'm going to go up to $227. And then I might do more, but I just felt like that was, for me, a comfortable price point for entry, because it's a class I can teach with my eyes closed. It's really like there's zero prep on my end, but it's transformational. And so ultimately I'll charge more, or I'll charge or do the class more often, because I think that'll be a good feeder to get people into the membership group if they're hesitant. Now, some people are telling me they'll jump right into the membership group without the class. So, you know, we'll see.
So I have a couple of suggestions for you, Christy. Uh-huh. As far as selling people into the membership group from your, you know, that's your value ladder. Make sure that you don't wear yourself out with the membership group when all of a sudden you have people in there and you don't already have content. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and put your content together for the first month or two and be mm-hmm. able to just drip it in there. So that whether you've got one person or 10 people, or as it builds, you'll have stuff that you have at the ready. Because the mistake that I see people make is they recruit hot and heavy into the membership site, and they don't have any backlog of stuff to post or to talk about or challenges or whatever they're going to do. And then they're like, oh, crap, I've got to go figure out something to put in there. And meanwhile, they've got new customers who are in there looking every day.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's why I was kind of wondering on the timing of the membership group. So I'll probably push it out till around June, July, and just call it summer school or something. I don't know. Because you're right. I agree with that. I want to give myself enough time to get stuff in there. But I also realized I don't have to have a whole year worth of content in.
No, you don't. I think you have to have at the most a quarter, but really you could ride with a month or two and then create as you go, you know, because for one thing, you want to create things that are responsive to where you see the membership is asking questions or where they're going. Right. So you might have, like, sometimes for this group, I'll have something planned that I have in my mind we want to talk about, but your questions cause me to just back up and listen and then kind of do it organically from where you guys are. And I think that's the better value for you, honestly, than me saying, we're going to talk about this today, whether you're interested or not, because you might not be there right then, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I'm still kind of fleshing that out. Like, am I going to teach one class and then do a Q&A and then maybe do something? Like, how many times do I want to be live? How many times, you know, like, what am I going to offer? And I agree with that. I think I'll have to feel that out as the group kind of mobilizes, but I'm going to go in there with a plan. So yeah. I think that's a good idea. Maybe I need to have the first quarter up and ready, and then I can evaluate during that first quarter. Yeah.
And you can always shift and then stream. You know, you can not post something you plan to post and insert something else instead if you see that there's a need, right?
Right.
So I think that part, that listening, is what keeps people engaged, because they feel like they're being met where they are. Mm-hmm. Rather than being forced into a particular structure, right?
That's a good idea. Yeah. So, I mean, so the next thing I'll have to tackle is Member Vault, because I've literally just I have not seriously done anything with that, but that's where I'm going to house it. So,
yeah.
You know, after I get the website up now, that's my next challenge, is to get in Member Vault and start getting that formatted and putting my content in there.
Yeah. I went in there and did a bunch of stuff when you and I first bought it. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot it and got off onto something else and, you know, had other projects going. And now I look at it and it's like, it's Greek to me. I have a new team member, and she's really, I think, going to be a good budding technical person. So I've thrown a couple of tech things at her and she's like, I don't understand it, but I'll figure it out. And sure enough, I give her a day and she comes back and she says, look at this. Is it right? It's right. I'm like, ah. So I may, throw her into Member Vault and see what she says about that.
Yeah. And that's my next step, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to want someone to help me get that set up I'm going to look for a VA. But the good thing is there's a ton of resources on that member vault community that I know there are people out there that are already for hire for doing that.
Yeah.
I'll run it by my VA. She isn't familiar with it right now. So I don't know if it's worth, you know, hiring a new person who knows it or trying to get your VA up to speed. That's the next step for me. So
yeah,
I'll be doing that. The other thing I've been consistent, after I redid my mailing list and switched to the new provider, and I've been consistently every week sending out newsletters, and this is going to lead to my ask. So I've gotten two people who email me, and when I switched my list and asked people to re-up, it's really small now, like super small, but they're actively engaged. And my open rate is like 65-70%, you know.
There's no shame in a small list. That's fine. I don't care if it's three people. If you're getting engagement, that's fine.
Yeah.
You can grow.
Anyway, two of them have emailed me and they're like, I love your content in the newsletter. How can I share this with my friends who are not on social media? Because I post like little snippets of what is in my newsletter on social media, and that's how they get extra content. Well, I thought about that. So many people, for whatever reason, we all have been there, are going to different platforms or eliminating or whatever. So definitely the newsletter is going to be really important. So I said, well, my website's almost live, so they'll at least be able to read my blog there. Then, here's a link. You can forward this email and have your friends sign up for my email. So I think email is going to be key because social media is just
the light has dawned, right?
Yeah.
The light's on. The light's on over Christy's head. Yes.
It is. So I'm like, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on social media, but so here's my ask. So the old school way, like the Allie Brown days, you know, we were all like, we do newsletters, but then we got into social media is everything. And now we're going back to, no, you have to create your own platforms. You have to own your content, all of that. If we're not going to a ton of in-person conferences anymore, a lot of things are going to be virtual. We can't catch a whole bunch of people on social media anymore. If we're building our newsletter, my question really is, how do we best leverage our time and our network when we're starting over? Because in effect, I feel like I'm starting over, so I don't have all these networking meetings I used to go to draw from. And I can't throw out stuff on social media and say, sign up for my newsletter, because 90% of the people won't see it. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of in a quandary in a new way. So that's where I'm at. How do you best think I can rebuild this and get new people?
To go to your original question, if you have a link where people can sign up to get your newsletter, even though your website isn't live, if that link is working right now, I don't know if it is or not.
It is. Yeah, I have.
You could certainly answer those people back who say, how can I share this? And say, thank you so much for wanting to share it. Here's the link. Please send this link to your friend and ask them to go ahead and leave their contact information, and they'll get the next edition.
Mm-hmm. I did that. So I'm hoping that was a good next.
That's one thing. So. Now, as far as targeting new people to be on your list, one thing you could think about, if you can target it correctly — if you can't target it correctly, it's not worth the money — you could try doing some Facebook ads, or you could try doing some ads on Instagram, but Facebook is going to give you a lot better targeting if you can find the right group of people. So that might be one way. You could do the $5 a day test for two or three different ads and happen to see if one took off. But it's got to be for something. It's not, can't be join my newsletter. It's going to have to be, do you want to take this 5-day challenge, which is a free 5-day challenge, or do you want to do whatever?
The assessment.
The other thing I see for you, Christy, is if I were you, I would try to build lists by getting on either Instagram or Facebook, whichever you think is the best one for you, or LinkedIn, and doing a live for 15 or 20 minutes consistently at a certain time once a week for 6 weeks, and see if that gets you followers. And in every single time you do a live, make the link to your newsletter something real memorable and easy, and mention, this is how you get news about where I'm going to be live or what my challenges are or and so forth, and see if that will garner you something. Now, I've been testing that out a little bit with Travel Changes Life because people are calling me to book travel, even though I haven't been advertising. So the last couple of weeks, I've gotten on Instagram for about 15 minutes and just said, you know, here's my tips about what's going on in travel right now, because boy, a boatload is going on. And I don't sell anything. I just say, if you want to get my weekly travel newsletter, here's the link. Go get it. And I am getting signups from just doing those little 15-minute Instagram lives. And I'll tell you, I can talk about travel topics for 15 minutes off the top of my head. So there's no prep at all. Just like you have things you could talk. I mean, we all have things we could talk about on an Instagram live. You know, I start out by saying, I want to talk about three things today or five things today. And then I just go through the list and I invite them to the newsletter at the beginning and at the end, and that's it. And so you could try something like that and see where you get it. And yeah. Other people might have suggestions too, but that's for you. I think this is a personal thing. The more they know you and see how your talk and your affect and your personality and your kind of your calmness toward things, I think people will respond to that.
Yeah, that's good advice. I put off doing the lives because I don't like doing them.
You and everybody else is like, I just jump on. I don't care if I don't have makeup. I don't care what. I mean, I do try to have a clean face, but I'm like, you know, here it is, people. I can talk to you about, you know, which boat should you take to Alaska all day long? These are the top two. Here's why. And people like that. People will leave me messages on those IG because I turn them into IGTVs then. And they'll write me and say, oh, this is great information. I can't wait for your next live, which is more engagement than you get anywhere else for free.
Yeah, exactly. Have you done any YouTube lives?
I haven't done any YouTube lives. I've done YouTube video. Well, I take the IGTV and I upload it to YouTube to my travel channel.
Okay. That's good because I know YouTube is one area that I do have a channel, but I haven't done anything for a long time. But yeah, that's a good mix. I think if I just start doing those videos and bite the bullet, I think my hesitation is, I hate having to look like who's on, are people asking questions, because that distracts me. So I think if I just don't worry about that and just speak as if no one's on there, at least I'm getting my content out.
I agree. When I'm doing a live, I mean, I much prefer to be in a room like this. It's interactive and I can see people and I can answer them. I can see when they have a quizzical look on their face, you know. But when I do those Instagram lives, I might happen to notice somebody I know coming on and I'll say, oh, hey, good to see you. Thanks for joining. I go right on. And then I just say, if you have a question about any of this, here's my email. Email me. And then that allows me to start a conversation with them.
Okay. And Instagram Live, that's just like you're doing a story. Like you go live. It's the same thing, right? Or is there a separate feature?
It's a separate thing. It's a separate thing when you go on Instagram.
Are you on Instagram or Instagram TV?
I'm on Instagram. You know you hit this little, plus sign up here when you're going to add something. So you add the plus and then at the bottom, story is what's here, but you scroll it. Wait a minute. It'll go over to live.
Okay. Thank you. That was,
They just redid all of their, controls. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I spent 15 minutes one day like, well, where the hell did it go? I wish they quit doing that. But anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Sandy and Claire may have some other ideas for you. So the question is, if you're starting off with a brand new list, mm-hmm. then how do you drive people to sign up for the list?
One of my thoughts for your challenge, Christy, is to make sure that your challenge includes getting them on your list. So many people have been running a challenge exclusively on Facebook and they never capture, they never get them over to their list.
Yeah.
I would do paid ads driving people to the challenge.
Okay.
because you know specifically what your challenge is going to be. Mm-hmm. So that should, and who it's for. So that should make it easier to target. Mm-hmm. Also, as part of that, I would drive ads. Again, I would do paid ads to your new assessment. People on Facebook love assessments.
Yeah.
It's one of the ads that I'm seeing getting the most engagement is around that.
Well, I agree with Sandy. And the thing I like about driving it to the assessment is it's evergreen. The challenge will soon be over.
It's evergreen, and just the nature of going to the assessment, they're getting on your list. It's not like another step to get them over to your list.
That's good. I'm very proud of it because it's 5 pages and I have the quiz.
Oh, it looks great.
Yeah. And I have a journal thing. And then on the end, I did your destiny success map. There's depending on how they scored, here are 5 ways call to action with a direct link to one of my 3 programs that I'm going to offer. So
you've done some work there.
I have been working very hard. Thank you, Canva. Canva, and I joined this stock thing, and they had pre-made templates for opt-ins and all of that. And so I literally just took one of those and, you know, tweaked it for me. But
yeah,
I think you're right, Sandy, that people want those downloads. So I called it Roadmap to Destiny, Who Am I Becoming, Quiz and Journal. And it's just a 5-page download, and I even created it so they can type in or print it off, like, because some people like to do it online, some people like to print it off, but that's good. I didn't think about running an ad for the challenge, but that's a great way to get them on the list. Not just the assessment. Yeah. Not the challenge, the assessment. So.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys say a little bit more about the assessment, please, for me, who I've never done it?
Well, mine's a quiz / assessment where I ask them, where do they think they are on their road to success as a female entrepreneur? Click here to take the quiz. Then they click and then they get the quiz download. And then based on their answers, you know, I want it to be a call to action. So that's my definition of assessment / quiz. People like to say, hey, I'm struggling on my journey. Someone's going to help me identify where I might be able to get some help or where I might be stuck. Oh, now I can read about this. And it just kind of jump starts.
I have one called Optimize and Monetize Your Business. And what I did was, it's very similar to Christie's, only around business. I've got 4 areas, ask you questions, and you can answer yes or no, not sometimes.
Right.
And then at the end, add up your score, and it tells you what to focus on next in your business.
And where are you guys posting these assessments? Are they paid ads on Facebook or on Insta or what?
Mine used to be my primary opt-in. Now it's a secondary opt-in on my website. And then I would drive paid ads on Facebook to the assessment. And what I did was I went and hung out at, I guess it was a Barnes & Noble one day, and looked at all the magazines, particularly the ones that do quizzes like Cosmo, and looked at all the names of them to come up with a name that I thought would be attractive to people. And one of the things I noticed was that the bulk of them were really short names.
Okay.
So that's something that I kind of gleaned from. I don't know if you know this, but magazines have 2 covers.
Yeah, they do.
They have the magazine cover that's sitting on the rack at the grocery store in Barnes & Noble, and then they have the magazine cover that goes out to subscribers.
Right.
Hmm. The ones that's sitting on the store rack, that cover has to entice you enough to pick it up and buy it. Whereas, you know, you're already paying for it if it arrives in your mailbox.
Right.
So I don't look at whatever I get in the mail. I go to the store and I look at what's there, because those are the trends, you know, that their marketing budget's a heck of a lot bigger than ours. So I watch what they're doing, and that's how I decide how to name my things.
Oh,
thank you. Trends.
Yeah, that's a good idea about the magazine covers, because you can get some really good copy that people have spent a lot of money developing, and titles within magazine articles as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So does that answer your question, Claire?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's very helpful. So let me see if I'm getting it, okay? That what you're doing with this, you see those quizzes all the time on YouTube or wherever that say, hey, you got this much body fat, I'll help you out. You know, what are you eating? What's your age? Blah, blah, blah. Get your demographics and then offers you something. So that's what you guys are talking about, right? Something like that format.
Yep.
Asking questions and then offering something.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was not understanding is, okay, so you develop that. I can see how to develop that. I can see how smart it is to go to Barnes and Noble if they're open and then go get titles. And I love short everything, anything short. I love it because I'm a bad reader. And then posting it to your website, right? Mm-hmm. Or you post it to your website or to your mailing list, your newsletter mailing list.
Well, you would, if you want people to come and take the quiz like Christy does and like Sandy does, then you would have it posted, then that quiz would lie on your website and people would come to the website and take it, and in the taking of it, they would then be leaving their contact information, and that would flow to your email list.
Automatically.
Yes, automatically.
Automatically, that's good. So what I'm noticing recently, that I always have poo-pooed the idea of LinkedIn because I've always thought, oh, that's corporate, that's not entrepreneurial.
Not me.
However, I'm a co-director for a women's group that had, yesterday we had 28 people. I can't believe it's taken me almost a year and a half to catch on how to host that in a very live way, but I finally got it yesterday. And it was a very lively meeting and really helpful on Zoom. But anyway, the point was that I'm getting responses and feedback on LinkedIn, and I'm so shocked. It's, for some of the people I'm dealing with, it's become more of a form of communication than I had ever given it credit for. So you guys, what's your experience of that? I mean, I thought that was totally corporate and forget it.
No, it's not. It started out that way, but it's been entrepreneurial for, gosh, 3 or 4 years now, I guess. And I do see a lot more people flowing to LinkedIn because they're so discouraged and disgusted about the time they're spending with no impact much on other social media sites. I mean, I probably need to play with LinkedIn more than I do. And it's just a matter of sitting down and making myself do it. You know, there's this thing that we all get into. And I mean, I'm as guilty of it as anybody else, which is we get in these tracks of habits of how we do things in our business, how we spend our time. And because we're used to it and it's comfortable and we know how to run it, and we kind of have these systems set up over many years to do it, we keep doing it. So it's kind of like we drive down this thing muddy track over and over again, but some of these tracks are getting muddier and muddier, and you're going to get more and more stuck, and you're not going to get return for your time. So, I mean, I think I told you guys that I did this month or two kind of hiatus, really, from social media. I mean, I just posted what we had already pre-set up, and I really didn't go after it much, and it didn't make any difference at all in my earnings. And you know, that's as the CEO of your business, that should tell you something, right?
Yeah, that's why I was going back to how can I do this a different way, because I know spending 5 hours a day every day on social media is not the answer, because you're just simply not going to catch any more than you would by spending 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah, 15 really strategic minutes with a good call to action is going to be far more, it's going to be better for everyone here. Mm-hmm. And Nadine and Elaine and Patrice and, you know, the people who are not here, it's going to be effective for everybody. It's going to be much more effective. It really is tougher and tougher to get engagement in a faux environment. And I think the pandemic has driven some of that, but I think that also is just how human nature works. We always need to think about how we reach out to engage people. It has to be human in its scale, and it has to be human in its energy, like how, you know, we all respond to certain different things. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind. And it depends what you're selling too. If you're selling something, what you're selling, Christy, is really personal. And Sandy, I think what you're selling is more business oriented. Claire, what you're selling is personal, really, because you're coming into people's homes and helping them with their spaces, you know? So we have to keep that in mind. I also think that there's a very different feel from corporate or business, bigger business, small business, larger business customers than there is to one-on-one. So Sandy, I think about you often, and I also think this about me, where I have retainers with companies. You know, they're much more action-oriented and decisive, and they've got a certain budget to put toward it, and they're ready to run. But when you're, you know, putting in front of people who are home-based small business owners, like all of us here, it has to be a different tone and a different energy. Some of those people are there because they're hesitant and they need to learn what it is they're supposed to be doing. But it's real easy to overwhelm them. They're really good at what they do, but they don't have business skills. And they're not going to sustain in business without those business skills. So you've got to kind of help them see how they need to view themselves as a business owner, which is why this group, honestly. I mean, you have to, you know, you have to think about it as a business, right? So we all have to operate in two ways. You know, some people get it real quickly and some people don't. So Sandy, what else for you? Do you have anything that you want to talk about?
Let's see. Celebrations.
Celebrations?
Celebration. I'm down 31 pounds since the new year.
Whoa!
Oh my gosh, that's fabulous.
Yay!
Now what are you doing? Hang on just a sec. I'm going to ask you a look. Okay. I started this meeting and he was off doing something and now he's come back, so there's going to be noise in the background. So anyway, what are you doing, Sandy? I'm curious.
A combination of really plant-based, which I've pretty much always been, but a real more of a focus on greens and smoothies. I have a smoothie book coming out. I've been working on my recipes. I have taken my blood sugar from a fasting sugar of over 200 to down to 101.
Wow.
So
major.
And I've done a few, I cycle through doing some alternate day fasting as part of all of it. So, and then just walking the dog, no intense exercise at all, but just, you know, taking the dog for walks.
So that is excellent. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. A lot more to go, but celebrate where we are.
Yeah.
Great.
And every 10 pounds, I take myself out to my favorite fresh caught seafood restaurant and I get one of their grilled entrees, you know, whatever the catch of the day is.
Yeah.
With a massive salad and grilled veggies.
Wow, yeah. That's great.
And the other big piece of it was I took a test. Viome is the name. And part of that test tells you what foods you should, what are your superfoods, what's okay for you, what you should minimize and what you should avoid. And an interesting thing, I was always eating broccoli, like every day, cooked in my smoothies, nonstop broccoli. Broccoli is on my avoid list.
Well, there you go.
So I went through that list and I only eat from the first two, my superfoods and my enjoys. And if I happen to be out and, you know, there's a piece of broccoli in my roasted veggies, I'll eat it, but because it's so rare. But I think that had just a huge thing to do with it as well.
What did you substitute for the broccoli? What'd you switch out?
I just eliminated it, and just now I eat from my superfoods and my approved foods. So like broccoli is a cruciferous veggie. So I wanted to eat something more cruciferous, which is for me, one that is cruciferous and meets my needs is arugula. So instead of using romaine in my salads, I use arugula.
Yeah. That's an interesting test. You'll have to stick the link to it in here. I might do that myself, but I know that it's difficult and I'm way proud of you. And this is a really good reminder to all of us. And this is, I mean, I just believe this so much with my everything. As we are inside is also how we are outside.
Mm-hmm.
So how we're feeling about ourselves or how we're feeling about our health or how we're feeling about our mental status or whatever the case, our environment around us, whatever the case may be, you know, we can't go off and be the leaders of our business if we also are not feeling well constantly, or we feel like we're in our health could be better constantly, or we feel tired constantly, or we feel depressed constantly, or whatever the deal is. And I think that's one thing that has been difficult for everyone over the last almost year and a half now, because we all have had mental stressors that have been far more than anything any of us have ever lived with in our lifetime. And it has affected us perhaps in different ways, but it has affected us all in some way or another. You know, you've heard lots of people talk about their COVID weight gain because they were stress eating, right?
Right.
And then, you know, other people like me, every now and then I would just get really sad about this whole situation that we were in. It was really, you know, it was hard for me to say, okay, I'm in it, but I'm not that. And I had to do my little mindset work to pull myself out of it. We all have that. And that all is an integral part of who we are as business owners and how we lead our business and how we respond to people who want our help through our businesses. So anything we can do to bolster ourselves, you know, that's what it's about. We're the stronger we are and the more confident we are and the happier we are mentally, that shows when we go out and talk about our business, right? So that's definitely a topic always welcome in here, because you might say that doesn't have anything to do with business, but it absolutely 100% does. Mm-hmm.
I stopped drinking wine a month, how many days ago? Now a month ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's big. That's giving up wine is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, I find I'm a lot less tired.
Yeah.
Than I was.
Yeah.
So there's that. I've refined my audience again.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm going to go with what's feeling really good to me now, and I've been sitting with it for a little bit, is specializing on membership and retention for businesses with a large portion of their revenue from education and coaching.
Ah, okay.
How did that differ from the last iteration of what you were looking at?
Education and coaching part, right?
Yeah.
And retention.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I realized that the bulk of my clients who are being successful, they have membership programs. Typically, they created them after we started working together, but they've got a membership program, and we focus on engagement and retention in it. And every one of them has something to do with education or coaching as part of their business, totally different industries, but there's always that little training component. And I don't know if I like education or training. I'm still tweaking and playing with all of that. And as one of my list building exercises, I'm also doing a challenge next month, and it's going to be I'm still playing with the name, but I think it's 5 days to know if you're ready for a membership program. Something along those lines.
Uh-huh.
Because so many people have no list, no engagement, no content, but they are just so wooed by the thought of a membership program because of leveraged income that they go all in and then it flops. So I want to help them through the, and the challenge will be free through the challenge. Are you ready for it? You know, here's 5 days to see. And then if you are after that, and this will depend on the number of people in the challenge and the type of engagement, I'm either going to host a small group program or work privately with people. I don't know which offer I'll make yet. We'll see how the challenge goes, but I'll have both ready.
So what you've done in effect is make your niche about membership sites for businesses, membership and retention for businesses. You've added a long tail keyword on there and you've just said for education and coaching. So you've niched it further, basically.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it. I like it because it kind of ties into the world you exist in as I know you. And I think probably as some of your retainer clients know you as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yet the language speaks enough that to cross that line with some of the organizational work that I'm doing and some of the work that I'm doing with bigger companies.
Yeah.
And so it feels like something that I can put on LinkedIn. Like right now, I think my LinkedIn says I specialize on solving retention problems with membership and subscriptions. So we'll see. I said that in a group I was in yesterday and had two offers to speak by the end of the group.
Great.
So it seemed to resonate with, and they're not people that I knew well, which I thought was a better sign than if it was someone. Yeah. And then my ask, I realized as in that group and afterwards and just watching people around, mm-hmm. I suck quite literally at building strategic partnerships and relationships.
Okay.
My biz dev skills are a little less than zero. I don't like to ask for things. I have always done it on my own. And while there's a certain amount of yay me, there's also, I would not think to call anyone and say, hey, can I run this by you? Wouldn't do it. I wouldn't know who to do it with, even though I'm sure if I, you know, picked up the phone and asked you, Sue, you'd be right there.
Yeah.
So I need to figure out how to start building those relationships because I feel like I don't have them.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty common for those of us who work alone. There's two kinds of relationships that I'm thinking of, Sandy, and I want to ask you which you're thinking of more. One is collaboration, just like this group. There's literally nothing you can come in here and not ask. I always want it to feel that way. So one of them is collaboration, just having a friend. Like if I knew I was having a problem with my green screen, I'd call Lou Bartone and say, well, you know, what the hell, Lou? And he would fix me up. You know, it's like just a quick, they're your colleagues that are, you right. can have some back and forth, no money involved, just your friends. There's also though, centers of influence that you can collaborate with and do collaborative projects on where you're not direct competitors, but you're aligned in what you're offering. And I'm thinking you're talking more about the first group, not the second group, but I just want to be clear about that.
I would say a little bit of both, but about okay. 3/4 more the first. Like I've worked with Lou. Lou's been a client of mine in the past. I would not pick up the phone and call Lou. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing within me.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable doing that. No, right. You know, nothing on Lou. He's the friendliest guy.
Yeah. Ever. Yeah. Yeah.
But I would never think to do that.
Yeah.
So just kind of reestablishing relationships.
Yeah. And
even just, you know, shooting someone a note and saying, hey, do you want to catch up? That is so uncomfortable for me. Mm-hmm. It's out of my comfort zone.
I'm used
to an island.
Yeah. So here's the deal. You have the skill and you probably even know who to ask. It's a mindset shift of allowing yourself to reach out, because it makes you feel vulnerable, more than likely, because it makes us all feel vulnerable to a greater or lesser extent.
Right.
Yeah. And so, and especially if you are independent and you're smart and you're good at figuring things out, you kind of go, you create this mud track, this habit of, oh, I'm going to figure this out no matter what. And you feel proud when you do it, but you also kind of get yourself into a box of aloneness. And that's difficult when you're working in the kinds of work that we're all doing, because we're sitting in our offices every day with no water cooler or coffee machine or anything like that.
Right.
So, I think I don't think you're the only person who feels that vulnerability and that, like, I know I need to do it, but I'm hesitant to ask. It is really kind of showing, like, oh, hey, I could use some conversation today. So it is vulnerability. It's one reason I created the Monday Let's Talk group at the beginning of the pandemic. It's just a place for people to come hang out and talk about anything, really. It's not really necessarily business related, but I felt like people need a line. They needed a little line, because we were all feeling like, this is really going to change our lives. That's somewhat gone by the wayside now. People are getting vaccinated and getting out and about. But for us, it is a challenge of, what is it within us? We all need to connect, and we all have varying degrees. Some of us need to connect a lot more than others of us need to connect, but we still all need to connect. And so how do you get outside your comfort zone and learn the habit of just putting yourself out there and saying, hey, you want to have a Zoom coffee? I'd just like to catch up, okay, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit in our next meeting, like making those connections, whether they're personal collegial connections or whether they're like centers of influence for collaboration. Because we can all always benefit from good collaborations.
Yep. So that's what I have.
Can I say just something here? Can I just jump in just for a second? That stuff is easy for me, Sandy, kind of, sort of, but I still have to gear my energy. I still have to screw up my energy, my courage, my courage. I do. It's a 1,000-pound telephone, right?
Yeah.
And so a trick I use, sometimes I tell you it works better when I do it than I don't do it. I honestly meditate to tap into something bigger and stronger than I am. Mm-hmm. And then once I meditate, I think, okay, all right, I'm not alone in this. I'm going to say the right words. I'm going to make the right connections. I'm going to have the other person in mind. And despite the fact, like I say, it's kind of sort of easy for me, I still get scared as shit about it. I do.
Yeah. Yeah. It is something that, I mean, we all have those kinds of things we need to work on. Okay. Point noted, Sandy.
Thank you.
I'll think about some places for you, because I'm in some new and different groups lately too, just because the world is changing and my word for this year is different. I might pass some of those on to you and say, hey, you might be interested in this or in this.
I would love that.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing that happens, and this is a caution for all of us, but especially I think for you, Sandy, because you're so experienced in business and you see to the end of things very quickly, is like an example of this is that I'll get into a group and I'll meet people and stuff, and then I'll start getting asked for, oh, do you want to have a coffee chat on Zoom? And then somebody sends me their scheduler and they're only available at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, my time. And it's like, that's not how you build. I wrote one back the other day and said, I'm just not available that late in the evening. I'm at my desk at 6 a.m. typically. And by 8 o'clock, I'm wanting to sit with Bill and go watch the sunset or whatever. Like, that's not when I'm at my best. Yeah. I would be on the phone or I would be on Zoom going, oh, Jesus, I'm tired and I want to go have dinner or whatever. So you have to think about ruling out the people who are not good fits for you and really honing in on the people who will feed you and who you can feed. That's part of the equation, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Claire, I don't want to run short on you. Do you have an ask or something that you want particular acknowledgement for today?
Thank you. I think I got my questions answered. I love your ideas. I love this meeting. I love what goes on. And then I always get bogged down with what is the structure that can carry it off? What's the vehicle? What's the mechanism? And that's where I fall apart. I mean, I grate the ideas, then I go, great, this is a great idea. I love it. But how do I do it? It's like,
so implementation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Claire, what's your website?
It's CLARE, Claire Michael Interiors, which is in transition at the moment because somebody was working on it and didn't really complete anything.
I just realized that I hadn't visited it. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. And yours?
TheMartiniWay.com. I'll put it in the chat.
Thank you very much for that.
I got to look in the chat because I wanted the name of that plate. VOME.com. Okay.
Yeah, they call it Viome.
VOME.com. Okay. That's curious to me. I'm that not wanting them to tell me I like broccoli and Brussels sprouts.
They also tell you your cellular age.
Oh, wow. Lord God.
That's a scary number to see.
Oh, dear. What is that name of that site again? What is it?
It's Viome, V as in Victor, I O, M as in Mary, E.com.
Viome.com. So, Claire, for you, I think the thing is you love new ideas, and it's because you have that creative side of your brain, right? So for you, unlike Sandy, who is really strong with implementation and needs more the networking and the outward energy stuff, you are good with that, but now you need the energy, you need the inward focus energy stuff. Mm-hmm. So for you, it is really looking at the night before, here's how I'm going to block my time for the next day. And instead of trying 15 different new ideas, pick one and really go for it and keep at it for 3, 4, 5, 6 months to see if it's going to pay off. And that means really consistent.
Well, I think I need a VA. I think I need somebody, but I'm not willing to pay somebody $50 an hour to be a VA. I mean, I need somebody who I can say, like what you're saying, okay, here's what I want to do. Help me implement it.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of simple to me, but maybe it's not. It's not because I keep getting blocked.
Right. Well,
I keep constantly getting blocked.
Here's the problem with that. You can't say to a VA, here's what I want to do. Go do it. You have to know enough about the systems to tell them how you want them to implement it.
Yeah.
And so that's where you're going to spend a whole bunch of money and get taken every time because they're not really going to understand what you want. And it's up to you to say, I want you to do an email autoresponder campaign to me. And I want for it to be in MailerLite or in MailChimp or ever what you use. And I want it to have 3 emails. And I want the first email to do A, the second email to do B, and the third email to do C. And I want you to draft that up and give me a draft to look at that. And I want the call to action links in each one to be A, B, and C. So the thing that I see with people so much when they have a business that where they're by themselves, as we all are, is they think they can just hire it done. What?
You dropped for a second. Sorry. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
They think they can hire it done, but you've got to understand how those systems work because it's your responsibility to tell them how to best use that system for your business. Otherwise, you pay money to get mismatches.
That's where I fall apart then.
Yeah. So you've got to say, this is my tech stack. This is what I'm using for email. This is what I'm using for my website. And I've got to know at least enough, a good 25% of it, so that you can tell people how you want it to work. Because nobody's going to develop something for you. It's your business. They can't get into your head enough to know that. That's the big stumbling block, I think, for a lot of people.
It is.
Hey, I made that mistake. The very first website I did 20 years ago, I'm sure that lady runs at the very sight of me even now, because I really thought she's a website designer. She'll write my copy. She'll do all this stuff for me. And she kept saying to me, well, what do you want on these pages? You told me you want these pages, but they're blank. What do you want? And I was like, oh, that's up to me. I mean, that was a hard, I remember, she must have hated my guts, honestly. She probably does to this day. And now it's like, no, you've got to have all this together and then hand it off to a team member and say, this is exactly what I want. You go do it. And come back to me if you don't understand. That's the deal.
That's really that makes me cry.
Well, I'm that sorry. That's cry. The way. Listen, you know I'm not gonna bullshit you. I mean, this is the truth. This is what you gotta have.
Yeah, you gotta have that base knowledge.
Yeah, you do have to have. You don't have to know. Like I will say to Cindy or Mika or Christina, you know, I can't get this to work in MailerLite. You go figure it out. That's a technical issue, but I know where I want it to go from A, B. I know the flow of it. It's up to me to create the flow of it. It's up to them to put that flow together. And I have to tell them what tools they're going to have to use because I'm paying for those tools. Those are my tools.
Right.
All right. Does that help at all? Or are you thinking like, oh, well,
yeah. Crap. Unfortunately, it does.
Okay. Anything else, Claire?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else from anybody? Follow up, Christy?
No, I think I would love that next call you had talked about. We're going to do content and whatever, but Sandy got me thinking more of that collaboration connection versus center of influence and how do we balance that. I think that would be a good conversation to have.
Okay. Well, we'll put it on the agenda for next time around, which by the way, will be the 28th in 2 weeks. And I'll see you then, but you know, if you need me before then, you know how to find me either on the Facebook forum or email. You're always welcome to do either. And next week I'm going to be in and out a little bit. Bill and I are going on our first road trip in 15 months. We're leaving Sunday and we're just going to drive down through the Keys before it gets too hot down there. We're not going to be that far from home, but so I'll be on email and stuff, but I won't be like sitting here every day. So I'm having a little break next week, but I'm around if you need me. Take care.
Thanks.
Thank you, ladies.
Bye.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.